You're listening to The Bart Winkler Show, live from Milwaukee. Here's Bart Winkler.
It is The Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. Great to be with you here tonight. Andrew Scarpacci alongside. We've got Marco Belletti on the updates. Want to take a look at what's going on in the NBA momentarily. Also talking about some of the things that happened in the NFL today regarding quarterbacks. And if you're in the market still for a backup quarterback, and Minnesota's a team that is really striking out. They thought they would get Daniel Jones. They thought they would maybe even get Drew Lock. He signed today with the Seahawks again. They thought they could get Joe Flacco, who talked with them, and Pittsburgh, but he's going to the Browns. So the backup quarterback market shrinking, but another team's been added into not only needing a backup, but maybe a starter, and that's the Saints. Derek Carr could need shoulder surgery and could miss a considerable amount of time, if not all of the 2025 regular season. So what do the Saints do? Well, the long-term option for Derek Carr didn't exist there in the first place. I understand they signed him a few years ago, tried to make something of it. It did not work out, and then he got hurt, and you know, what do you do now? He's 34 years old. He's hurt again. He's got one more year remaining on this deal after this season, where his cap hit currently for 2026 is $69 million. Dead cap of $59 million. It's dead cap right now of $80, but the cap hit's only $20 because they converted a bunch of the salary into a signing bonus, creating some more cap for this year, but this is what the Saints have been doing. He would be a free agent in 2027. But shouldn't the Saints have already been in the market for a quarterback, perhaps in the draft anyway? Maybe. Does this pressure them into doing that now? Perhaps. If they were to draft Shedeur Sanders, let's say, at 9, if that's where he went, or sooner via a trade, well, now Shadur's probably not backing up Derek Carr. Now he's probably starting right away. So what is that going to look like? Is there going to be a lot of pressure? There's probably less pressure to win immediately in New Orleans than there is in New York. Probably less attention. And maybe there's a higher risk or possibility, I should say, not risk, possibility of success, perhaps. So interesting there, everything that's happened. Now, do the Saints not take a quarterback? Do they trade for a quarterback? Are they suddenly in the Aaron Rodgers quote-unquote sweepstakes? The sweepstakes being who wants to win 8 games with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback this year, step on up and play. Kirk Cousins wants to play. This is a place where he could play. Are the NFC South Atlanta Falcons going to trade Kirk Cousins to the NFC South New Orleans Saints? Because a lot of times you don't want to trade guys in your division. Well, what if you don't think that guy's very good and you benched him last year?
You like that?
Don't you think you'd want him? Like, if I'm a Falcons fan, I'm like, yes, trade him to the Saints. Please. Takes him out of the equation for me. So there's a lot of moving pieces that need to happen. These teams are going to be taking quarterbacks. The Titans in this draft will take a quarterback. The Browns will take a quarterback. The Giants will take a quarterback. The Saints will take a quarterback. The Steelers will take a quarterback. But where, when, and who? Jackson Dart's going to end up on one of these teams. Jalen Milroe is going to end up on one of these teams. Tyler Shuck, Will Howard. They're going to end up on one of these teams. And maybe somebody else slides in, you know, the Raiders could take a guy late. But these teams that we're talking about that need quarterbacks are going to take quarterbacks. Again, it's just a matter of when and kind of jockeying against each other and also the board about where's an appropriate time to do so. And this is the biggest thing that I would need to focus on if I were the GM of a team is that there are a lot of mock drafts and there are a lot of conversations and there is something about value. Like, this guy's not expected to go until round three, so don't take him in round one if you know you can get him in round three. But then how do you know that someone's not going to take him in round two? If you like a guy, take a guy. If you like a guy, take a guy. Now, sometimes you might like a guy and you're like, oh, I'd love him in the sixth round. Well, then you wait. But if you're like, the one thing we can't do, if you're the Giants and you've evaluated these quarterbacks and you actually like Jackson Dart the best, the one thing you can't do is leave this draft without Jackson Dart. Well, then you got to figure out a way to take him. And if that way is taking him at number three and getting ridiculed for it, that's what you do. Now, they would probably take one of the other guys or trade down and still get a top guy. They could maneuver that. That's part of why these people get paid the big money. Or you think so. I think Nico Harrison with the Mavericks is a good reminder because just because these guys all have these jobs doesn't mean the guys that have these jobs, they have the jobs based on a lot of different factors. If several of us, and I'm not talking player here, a lot of us just aren't born with it. But I think it's easier to become a general manager and be good at it. You know, even with coaches, we can really... I just hate the phrase, like, that guy knows more football than I'll ever forget. Does he? Nico Harrison, he didn't train his life to be a general manager. He was a Nike executive. Some of these guys just get jobs God knows how. 888-710-4ISN. Chris is in Buffalo. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, Alberto?
What up?
You kind of took the wind out of my sail by dropping the Aaron Rodgers for the Saints.
Well, you know what? Hey, Chris, there's a bunch of people that just turned the radio on right now. So for them, whatever you say is completely new.
Oh, I was just going to say, what are the odds of him ending up being a Saint?
Yeah, I personally feel like it's collision course Steelers. And at least with the Steelers, there's like a semblance of a chance of playing well. Rodgers to the Saints, he might as well play for the Birmingham Stallions, you know?
Well, I'm also calling to touch base with you again about my first Sabres game that I attended over the weekend.
Did they win?
It ended up going into overtime against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
When I went to a Sabres game, I sat a row in front of Alan Lazard. Is that exciting?
Where were you sitting?
We had seats in like the first level, like maybe 25 rows up on the side in the corner.
How many games have you been to?
Just the one. I went to Buffalo for a Packers Bills game. And the night before, the Sabres were at home. And so we said, this is a no-brainer. We have to go.
Well, I'd go to a Sabres game with you if you were in town.
Yeah, I don't know when I'm getting to Buffalo again, but I'll take you up on that offer if I get there again.
Oh, man, they even had like a selection of hats. They must have been from maybe last year or something, but they had like three or four hats that are normally $35 for only like $5.
Well, I mean, I might buy a plane ticket for that hat deal alone, Chris.
I got two in case you wanted one.
So you had a good time? What else do you want to say about it?
Oh, it was good, man. Like beers were like $19. But being able to see it in overtime, you know, for my first game is really cool. And there's no announcing, which I found to be kind of weird, you know? Like, normally...
There was no PA guy?
There was, but I think it's just I'm used to the television aspect of it. It's nowhere near as interactive with the game as you're used to with like television?
Oh yeah, you're watching it on your own, man. Have you never been to any game before of any sport?
No, just I've been to a couple of I've been to a Bandits game, a Sabres game,
okay,
a Bisons game, and the one Bills game I went to, they played when Alex Smith was still the quarterback for the Chiefs, and we blew them out.
Oh, okay.
So
are, did they make a return customer out of you?
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I'm in it for the 50-50 raffle. And as far as anybody trying to take on Robert from Annapolis, I got his back.
I think a lot of you guys, Chris, thanks for the call. Thanks for calling back. I think a lot of guys around here would have his back for sure. $19 beers, that'll get you. That'll get you. The problem I have with paying a lot of money for an alcoholic beverage at a sports game is, you know, I think around, if I got to pay 11, 12 bucks for a beer, I think I can understand that. Even up to $13.50, okay, that's tough. But make sure it's cold and, you know, pour it nice. I don't like if you buy, because beer, what's the most manly way to say this? Beer makes my tummy hurt. So sometimes I'll get a mixed drink. And what they're charging for mixed drinks is absurd. So if you're going to charge for a mixed drink, they got to figure out, like, when they bring out that little pouring thing, and it's like, okay, just don't do that. Because now I know I'm... Then it feels very... I just don't like that. Give me less than you would. Just don't use that thing. Just don't use that thing. And I'm not going to these games looking to get brown out. Okay? Looking to get college girl drunk, but
the
geez.
Guy is drunk.
Yeah, I mean, I want my money's worth. A little measurer, and then she spills half of it out in the transfer. Jeff is in New Orleans. Jeff, what's up?
Hey, Bart, how you doing there, buddy? Let me tell you what I got for you tonight, sir.
Whoa, hey.
Oh, sorry about that. I'm anticipating the show after yours. Bart, I wanted to tell you, buddy, I thought last night when I listened to that call with Todd from Tampa, I thought you were a little hard. I thought you were a little hard on yourself, and I'll tell you why briefly. Not only were you blindsided, but the entire audience was blindsided by that tirade about Florida sports. So I think you were a little hard on yourself. We all were caught.
But I allowed it to happen. I'm the one, I'm the one that poured the gasoline on the fire.
I know, but I'm just going to tell you. I think he should have never gone off script. But anyway, I am going to stand up for him for a second. Because a few nights ago, I told you about my top 10 list. I gave you two or three names off the top. And I put him up there. I really do. But
who, Todd from Tampa?
Yes, I do. And I'll tell you why. Because
I'm a big Todd from Tampa guy. I just thought he was going to talk about one thing. He talked about two other things before we got there. And it was long. And, you know, I'm very pro Todd from Tampa. Just the call, like the one guy a couple of months ago, some guy called and just dominated me. Like I had no, he just owned me. And it was just a matter of right place, right time. He just controlled the entire show. And I gotta keep the reins in.
Yes, sir. And you do a good job of that. I got to give you that. You do a very good job of that. You move the callers along extremely well. But I'm going to give a shout out to Todd from Tampa, if you don't mind, because when he gets on the air, I think last night was an exception. When he gets on the air, he doesn't waste any airtime. He's got a purpose for his call. He gets on there and he tells you how he feels. He's not afraid to.
He just had a lot of purposes, and I didn't have time for all of them.
Yes, sir. But I'll tell you what, I am going to tell him another thing right now, and I hope he's still listening. You don't mess with the number one caller on the Winkler Show. You don't do that. No, I told you the other night, there's a damn good reason why Robert from Annapolis is the number one caller on this show. He brings more sports information to this program than anybody. He challenges you, Bart, and I like that. So you don't mess with that man. You mess with the wrong Marine when you do that, because I got his six as well.
Well, good.
That's all I've got. That's all I've got, Bart. But I love Todd. Shout out to you. Shout out to Robert. I love both of y'all.
Well, Jeff, I appreciate that. And what makes me happy, and thanks for the call, is when we have gotten, I think, to a place here. Because the people that, you know, some people listen one time, some people once a month, some people a little more frequently. But when you get people calling in, not to talk about sports, but to talk about the callers that call in, brings a little tear to my eye, I must say. Get you an update on these NBA playoffs. Could be affected a little bit. I don't think so, but there's at least a question in the air. A groin injury has knocked somebody out of tonight's Lakers game. Details on that when we return. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4476. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
Pick up the phone and call the Bart Winkler Show.
The NBA playoffs. Well, I don't know. Are they starting on the 15th? The play-in starts on the 15th. The playoffs start on the 19th. So the play-in is not technically the playoffs. It's its own different thing. Like how the NBA Cup final exists, but it's not a part of the regular season. The stats don't count. That's kind of the same thing. These are not playoff stats. These are not regular season stats. They are playing in to get to the NBA playoffs. But the seeds 1 through 10 in the East are known. So, in first place in the East, you have the Cleveland Cavaliers. What a season for them. They will take on whoever is the 8th seed. So that could be any one of these teams from the play-in tournament. So here's how the play-in tournament is going to work in the East. The Magic are the 7. The Hawks are the 8. The Hawks will play in Orlando. The Bulls are the 9. The Heat are the 10. The Heat will play in Chicago. The loser of that game is done. The winner of that game will play the loser of Orlando versus Atlanta in either Orlando versus Atlanta. And then that team will be the 8 seed. So the Cavaliers are either going to play the Magic, Hawks, Bulls, or Heat. And you would think that they would have no problem with any of those teams. Now, last year, the Cavs and Magic, did that go 7 last year, I believe? That was a great series. A little bit different here. This year's Cavs team will have no problem with this year's Magic team or whoever they happen to play. The Celtics have the 2. Which means they would play the 7, which can only be either the Magic or the Hawks. And you've got to think that they're going to have no problem with that either. The 3-6 matchup, which the winner would then take on the Celtics, is going to be the Knicks and the Pistons. Pistons have been very good this season. What the Pistons did this year is unlike anything that we've really seen anyone do, what they've been able to do. Their amount of wins from last year to this year is about, it's like top 7 of all time. It's very good and very impressive. And so kudos to the Pistons for what they've been able to accomplish this year. And I think they're going to come into this series believing in themselves against the Knicks. Knicks will be the favorite, no question. But let's see how that one plays out. Pacers and the Bucks is the 4-5. They played a year ago. Giannis was hurt, and then Dame got hurt. Pacers won. Pacers also then were able to take advantage of a Knicks team that dealt with injuries. And Pacers were, you know, getting pretty high on their own supply by bulldozing through teams that were banged up. Good for them. Celtics beat up on them, rightfully so, as you would expect. Pacers, man, I don't know that there's a team right now that when you play against them, they're going to grind you more. I want to believe in my Bucks. Damian Lillard, I don't know if he's going to come back or not. I hope Giannis doesn't get hurt for the third straight postseason. That would be bad. I'm going to believe the Bucks can win, but then what? You got to take on the Cavs. Bucks have played the Cavs pretty tough, especially at the beginning of the season. But I don't know, man. I think the Cavs, I think the NBA champion is going to be the Cavs, the Thunder, or the Celtics. One of those three. That's who's winning the title. I would love, you know, Bucks fandom aside, I would love to see a Cavaliers-Thunder postseason matchup as an NBA Finals matchup. I would love to see that. Those are the two teams that have played the best all year. They played two games against each other and split. Competitive, fun games. I would love to see that. The Knicks, I thought were a team that could kind of break through. Really, I think the Cavaliers might be having a year that a lot of people thought the Knicks could have, especially when they got Bridges and then traded for Towns. But they're not beating good teams. They can't beat good teams. Even tonight, they lost to Cleveland again. And Cleveland wasn't playing everybody. Towns was out for New York. But they don't beat these teams. They can't do it. So the Eastern Conference postseason picture is set. The play-in tips off on 4/15. All right, moving out to the West. Here's what's going on in the Western Conference. The Thunder are the one. And we don't know yet, although I think we're getting close. Let's see what the scenarios were leading into tonight. Okay, Denver clinches a playoff spot. When I say playoff spot, that means not play in. They clinch a playoff spot, a seed 3-6. They clinch a playoff spot with a win and a loss by either the Clippers, Golden State, or Minnesota. Golden State won. I think the Clippers won. What did the Clippers do? Clippers, oh, okay. This game is right down to the wire here. This is going to decide some stuff. Clippers may have just won 101-100. I don't see if that game's gone final yet, but that may be the case. Clippers getting a win. I just got to double check. Did the Clippers win? Did you see if the Clippers won? Clippers. Yeah, I think Clippers won. Clippers won. Clippers beat the Kings 101-100. So Denver doesn't quite clinch a playoff spot because they needed a win, which they got. They beat Memphis, and they needed any one of those teams to lose. Oh, the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves won. The Timberwolves beat the Nets. Fun. Sunday's going to matter. The Clippers clinch a playoff spot if they win, which they did, and then a loss by either Denver, Golden State, or Minnesota. Yeah, none of those teams lost. Golden State clinches a playoff spot with a win. They won, or are going to win, won. And they need Memphis to lose, which they did, but also Minnesota, they didn't. Memphis is locked into the play-in tournament with a loss. They lost and a Golden State win. They won. So Memphis is in. They're not in the playoffs. They're in the play-in. Minnesota is locked in if they lose, which they didn't. So the East is settled. And everybody in the East plays
at 1 o'clock Eastern on Sunday. And none of those games are important. None of them matter. All those games are essentially irrelevant. I mean, they're fun, and I actually still might go. But none of those games matter. And then in the West, everybody plays at 3:30 Eastern. And those games are going to be very important. So as it's going to be settled here, the Nuggets and Clippers are both 49-32 with the 4 seed in play. The Timberwolves, the Minnesota Timberwolves, are going to be 48-33. The Golden State Warriors, also 48-33. So then the games that happen on Sunday that we need to pay attention to, Clippers do play the Warriors. And the Nuggets play the Rockets, who have nothing to play for. And Minnesota plays Utah, who suck. So if we assume, let's assume Denver wins, and let's assume Minnesota wins, then basically the Warriors need to win to get into the playoffs, and the Clippers are trying to, the Clippers might be, well, they're close to safe. All right, so that's interesting. That's a big game. That's a big game coming up on Sunday. Johnny's in Atlanta, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4ISN. What's up, Johnny?
What's going on, Bart? My prediction, Thunders and Cavaliers, Thunders getting their first championship. Even though I'm a Pacers fan, we're going to make a little noise. We're going to get past the Bucks. But the East, coming out of the East is the Cavaliers. They too tough. And the Thunder's coming out of the West, and they're getting their first championship. So that's my prediction right there. And I'm excited for them, but especially for Sunday. I'm excited for Sunday. There's going to be a lot of good basketball. So
Later in the afternoon, nothing in the East is going to matter.
Nothing in the evening time. But I'm just saying, later afternoon. And then my other thing is this. I don't know why the Nuggets get in the playoffs. They're already screwed. When they fire their coach, that shows that's the end of their run right there. Because ain't no way they should have fired that coach. Even though they say he lost the locker room or whatever, I don't know. But that was the end of the Nuggets right there. So it don't matter
they've been on a two-game win streak.
Hey, the playoffs coming gonna be a different story. And then I'll say that about the NFL draft, I'm a Shador hater. I've been saying that, but I think he's gonna go to the. I hope he goes to the Saints, because they'll make my day right there. They'll make my day because we drafted his dad and let him go to the Saints. And hey, we're gonna show him what football is really about. And that's all I gotta say about that.
Did you say you're a Pacers fan?
Oh yes, I'm a big Pacers fan.
Know that? I hate them, Johnny.
I don't think you knew that. I think Shep knew it, but I don't think you knew that. They ain't talked too much about them last year because I didn't think they're gonna make any noise. And I agree with you. They beat up on teams that was already beat up. That were supposed to. I think they can, we get past the Bucks.
But the way they were walking around like they were beating the healthiest Bucks team to ever live, and they were strutting into MSG like they were kings above kings.
Hey, when you put the food on the table, we got to eat. So of course we gonna strut around. We got to eat. We beat them. Like, what's that? We gonna do the same thing this year. Even though y'all say, oh, we didn't have Dame, it doesn't matter. Y'all came to play, bring your best, and y'all best wasn't good enough. And we gonna get past the Bucks. I don't know they'll pay after that, but we gonna get past the Bucks. But the GM is so good. The GM, I don't know why the GM haven't won GM of the year. He puts quality players on the court every year, and he don't go three and done. He gets players, the team. He gets the team.
Yeah, it's a well-built team. It's a well-built team, Johnny. Thanks for the call. It's just they keep celebrating accomplishments that
the celebration is a little higher than the accomplishment. So here's what we got, I think, again in the West. One is the Thunder. Two is going to be the Rockets. Three will be the Lakers. LeBron, by the way, out with a groin injury, has not returned. They're not going to play him this weekend, clearly, and then they don't have to play probably for another. I mean, if it's Warriors and Lakers, that's going to be the Sunday or Saturday night game. So they're probably not going to have to play for another 8 days. We'll see how long that groin bothers them or how bad it even is. The fifth seed, based on how things go, could be Minnesota, could be the Clippers. The sixth seed could be Minnesota, could be the Warriors. The seventh seed could be the Clippers, Warriors, Grizzlies, or the Timberwolves. And then the eight could be the Timberwolves or the Grizzlies. So the Timberwolves, it looks like, could go anywhere from 5 to 8 coming up this weekend. Clippers will be either the 5 or the 7. Warriors, either the 6 or the 7. And the Grizzlies are going to be in the play-in no matter what. So certainly a lot on the line in the West. Not so much in the East, as that is all settled. Bernardo, if what you say you want to talk about is true, you're going to have to carry this conversation. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Bart? I always wanted to talk about a little bit about the G League. I just came out of the game. I know it's not NBA, but...
No, please. But again, you have to carry this conversation because I don't even know what's going on or who's playing.
It was the Magic affiliate. I don't know what town they're from, but it was the Stockton Kings. They're the Sacramento Kings affiliate. I don't know, man. It was just a good game. I mean, you know, the NBA with the G League is getting exciting. I think maybe.
So how many people were in this gym? How many people were in this gym tonight?
Probably like 4,000 or 5,000. I mean, it holds 10, but they sectioned off just the two main sections.
And these are the finals, right? The G League finals.
Correct. Yeah. So it's 1-1, and whoever wins the next one wins the league title.
Oh, that would be on Monday. All right, I'm gonna make sure, and that's in Osceola, Florida. I'm going to make sure I add that to my notes so that we can properly cover that on Monday's show.
It was exciting. You should watch the highlights. I don't know if you watched it at all. It was a good game. They got this one guy. He looks like he totally shouldn't be there, but he could shoot some threes, though. It's funny. It's good.
Oh, I'm Bernardo, thanks for the call. I'm all about the G League. The Bucks have an affiliate. It's in Oshkosh, the Wisconsin Herd, and I've made a game, and the affiliate is about an hour and a half north of Milwaukee. So you get a lot of people in this area that aren't able to get down to Bucks games a bunch, but they can get to Herd games, and then, you know, they got guys on two ways, and you get really into it, and then some of the younger kids, like, care about the Herd or the G League team more than the pro team, and that's always special and fun. So, yeah, that's the thing with when I talk about soccer having promotion and relegation and how, you know, that I think that is cool. Oh, what if you could take this little team and then turn them into an NBA team? That's cool. But then this is also a way to get more fans of the big team. So it's like these NBA owners are like, what, you want to, like, have us tie in and do none of the work and it's our logo and you're selling our merch and then people are going to come and spend money with us? Oh no, twist my arm. So pro G League. The G stands for Gatorade, if you didn't remember that. It used to be the D League, which stood for developmental. 888-710 for ISN. Let's get an update from Marco Belletti.
Thanks for sticking around. Let's hurry back to the Bart Winkler Show.
Thanks for not bailing on us. It's the Bart Winkler Show. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Busy day in the NFL. We can get more into the draft here in a little bit. Something that we see in the NFL from time to time are holdouts. Guys say, you know what, I know I signed a contract, but I would like more money. I know we agreed at a certain time that this was the money I was going to get over a certain period of time, but I kind of want more now, so could I have it, please? And then they go through a discussion, and the guy either gets traded, but, you know, I feel like more often than not, a resolution is made and the guy is successful with his holdout or hold in or whatever the hell you want to call it. It does seem to work out for the player. And that happens a lot at the NFL level. So does it start to happen in college now? Well, the answer is yes, because it did happen in college today at Tennessee. Nico Imaliava, their quarterback, did not attend spring practice on Friday. Coaches and players were surprised. They had expected him to be there, but on 3.com reported that the NIL collective at Tennessee and Imaliava were working on a new contract. Other guys have signed NIL deals for more money this offseason than he had originally signed for. Carson Beck going to Miami, Darian Mensah at Duke, and so he wanted to update his deal. And that's typically what happens. You sign a deal, you like the deal, you're happy with the deal, but then other people sign deals and they make more money, and then you think, well, this sucks. I want that. And then you're going to sign, and someone else will sign. It's just a cycle. We've seen it. We're seeing it at quarterback. That's why we haven't seen Brock Purdy signed. So he wants his deal in the $4 million range. Right now, he's expected to make $2.4 million. Sources were telling ESPN that Tennessee is actually not going to blink. He was the 23 overall recruit in the class of 2023. The deal he signed would pay him more than $8 million over his college career, and now he wants more. This is not the intention of what NIL was supposed to do. I think we all understand and agree on that. And I think what's going to happen is when this happens, this same discussion is going to happen. Wait a minute. This isn't what we wanted. Well, it is, so let's figure it out. I mean, there's got to be some sort of a stop to this. We can't have these people renegotiating deals when for 150 years they weren't getting paid any money because they were student athletes. Don't get me wrong. We have gotten to a place now where what they do is so profitable that it is almost disgusting in a way if they don't get compensated for what they're doing. They're bringing in money to the university. It's because they're there that the university is making money. They should be able to get a cut of that. And when we're saying NIL, like NIL stands for name, image, and likeness. And that's what I think the intention was. Like, if Imaliava wants to have an endorsement or somebody profit off of him or like use him as a spokesperson, well, then yeah, he can get paid. He can get paid because he plays at Tennessee. He can get paid and he can be an endorser. And if his jersey sells, he should get a cut of that. If he's in the college football video game, he should get a cut of that. Well, now what NIL is basically becoming is just a catch-all for like the amount of salary that we have to pay these guys. They're making a salary. $2.4 million to play quarterback in college. We're in a transitory period because it's never been like this and it's not going to be this way forever. something is going to have to happen. We had college sports for the longest time where you go to high school and then you go to college and you go there because you're learning, but also playing sports. This is, I mean, dangerously close to the pros. This is the pros. This is minor league. It's professional. If you're making $4 million to play quarterback, you're a professional athlete. I don't care if it's for the Tennessee Titans or for the Tennessee Volunteers. You're doing it as a profession. At some point, I think these teams and these sports programs are going to break away from college where they don't, like, they're just going to, like, it's the Tennessee Volunteers, but it's not the University of Tennessee. It's just, like, it's going to be minor league football is essentially what it's going to be with the branding and history of the teams that have come before. This can't be. Kids should be getting paid. You should be able to profit when other people profit off of you. But now we're holding out for $2.4 to $4 million. I don't know what the right answer is, but this isn't it. It's the Bart Winkler Show.